Welcome one and all to another day here at the Damage Report. I am John Adarola. She is Sabrina. Sabrina, how's it going?
Good morning, John. Good morning, dragons. As always, I'm very happy to be here.
Very glad to have you here. We're always glad to have you on the show. We're always glad when we're doing a live stream and you pop up in the chat. That's always fun. It's always like, hey, wait a second, I know that name.
So no, anyway, I love thank this you. Show. I'm so happy to watch and be on it.
Well, we're very glad to have you here. We know that you are quite busy doing a lot of different types of work. So we do appreciate your time. Thank you for that. That said, we have a lot to talk about through the course of today. We are just less than one full day out from the most significant challenge to Donald Trump thus far, the indictments around the attempt to overthrow the election. Yesterday was indictment day. Today is arraignment day. He is going to be arraigned in Washington, D.C. Later on today. After our show, regrettably, but I guess we'll talk about it on Friday. That said, we do have some fallout from those indictments to go over, not only from Donald Trump, but perhaps more importantly, the right-wing efforts to control the narrative coming out of this, which there's always a couple different directions they could go in, and they've chosen to take the path of, I'll say the path of blood. Basically, they want violence, so we're gonna be moving into that. We'll also be talking about Rudy Giuliani, not only in the context of his role as a co-conspirator in those indictments, but also new details coming out in a criminal complaint that he's facing from a former employee, Noel Dunphy, who's made some very serious allegations that we've previously covered on the show. Now bringing the receipts, bringing the documents, and this is gonna be a rough one. We got a lot more news besides. Terrible news from the border, terrible news involving the Proud Boys. Somewhat hilarious news involving a missionary who's decided to live his best criminal life. And that's all in the first hour. In the aftermath, more fun. We've got arguments over light bulbs, my favorite type of argument to engage in. And one of the co-founders of the tragically disastrous trip to try to go see the Titanic has a new project in mind that seems only about 1,000 times more dangerous. So we're gonna give you all the details on that. But in advance of all that, please hit the like button, share the stream so people know we're live. They can join in on the conversation. And if you'd like to send us messages as part of that conversation, you might well earn yourself a $100 Blue Apron gift card. So get those messages in. And with all that said, Sabrina, you ready to do this thing?
There is so much today. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's jump in starting with this. Trump is under more pressure than perhaps ever before, facing these incredibly significant new indictments. And under that pressure, he has decided to turn to one of his favorite coping mechanisms, promising blood. He put out this message saying, look, it's not my fault that my political opponent in the Democratic Party, Crooked Joe Biden, has told his attorney general to charge the leading by far Republican. This is nonsense. I'm not reading that part. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. The Dems don't want to run against me or they would not be doing this unprecedented weaponization of justice. But soon in 2024, it will be our turn. MAGA. So, all of this stuff the Dems are doing is unacceptable. It's un-American. It cannot be abided. And soon we'll be doing all of it to them. And won't that be fun, everybody? Come to the rallies. Oh, we're gonna get some revenge, some retribution. You know, like Christians always want. Anyway, he's gonna receive some support in this message. Apologies, Congresswoman Marjorie Greene, if you're watching, for me besmirching the good name of the many conservative Christians who are chanting for the blood of Adam Schiff right now. Anyway, we're gonna get to right wingers supporting this sort of message. But first, Sabrina, you haven't gotten a chance yet to weigh in on these indictments and the way he's coming out of it. What do you think?
First of all, hello, Marjorie Taylor Greene, if you're watching. So excited to have you as a viewer. Yeah, just cope harder. Admittedly, I think I just told you a few minutes ago before we went live that like I haven't been following this particular Trump chapter as much because I've admittedly been growing a little pessimistic. He's never gonna see the inside of a jail cell, in my opinion. And if it does happen, yeah, cool. But it is exciting that this might actually come to something. It might actually prevent him from running for president again. That is something to be super happy about. So I'm looking forward to learning more.
We will see. We will see. I share quite a bit of that pessimism, but I would say if you happened across this video randomly and you're overwhelmed by all of the different legal challenges facing Trump, I would say start with this one. This is the most significant one. Like how I say when people want to get into Star Trek and there's just so much going on, start with Strange New World. It's a great like entrance ramp to the whole thing. I would say start with the effort to overthrow the election. But in any event, he doesn't try to convince his base that he didn't do it. He doesn't need to. They will never believe that he did anything wrong, even if he does it right in front of them. But that said, while he doesn't need the assist, he's getting an assist on this from Jesse Waters. Take a look at this.
If Trump wins after he pardons himself, welcome to the revenge tour. Oh, he'll be out for blood. You think he's gonna let bygones be bygones? He's gonna put his men at justice. And the Clintons, Obamas, the Pelosis, the Schiffs, and yeah, of course, the Bidens, everyone will be legally assaulted. Their family members, their foundations, their businesses, everything's fair game after this. Trump won't care about re-election because he's only serving one term. Biden's creating a one-man wrecking crew with a list a mile long. A lot of people are gonna get fired in Washington and the rules are gonna change. Scream and holler all you want, but if you're gonna try to make a 78-year-old former president die in prison away from his friends and family, hit him with 78 charges after spying on him and impeaching him twice, oh, you better believe it's open season.
And again, he's very sad about it because he's a very strong Christian and he doesn't believe in wanting revenge at all. And also, he totally thinks that it's unacceptable to do this, which is why he's totally cool with us doing it soon to everyone. He just throws out character names, Schiff, Pelosi. What the hell does Pelosi have to do with literally any of this? And by the way, don't think that I missed the Pelosi's will be legally assaulted. Oh, whoops, he must have forgotten that a right winger broke into Pelosi's house and tried to murder her and nearly murdered her husband. It just slipped his mind and none of the many producers who put that script into there could have possibly remembered that. This is just, without being as explicit as the audience would love, promising blood. They're daring to challenge Trump for all of the crimes that he effectively committed in full public view. So we're gonna go after all these people. And along the way, by the way, Trump's not even gonna have to worry about re-election. He's just gonna do this, which is also a promise to the base. He's not gonna do anything for you. He's gonna investigate people you've been convinced to hate, but that's it. He's gonna once again have a position as the most powerful person in the world, and he's gonna occupy himself 24/7 with trying to put Adam Schiff in prison. You know, answering the desperate cries of those who've been left behind by the establishment. Anyway, Sabrina, what do you think?
Very bold, very hopeful, but very bold choice of languages. It just reminded me of the whole like Proud Boys standby type thing. He's like, all right, here's what's gonna happen if it actually happens. So he seems very hopeful. Hopefully that does not happen because he is, I mean, Trump is, you know, doing pretty well in the polls right now against DeSantis, even to this day. That is a very scary possible future. So I hope he's wrong because he just seems a little too excited.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, he's dominating DeSantis. We'll actually be talking about that tomorrow on the show. But yeah, he could totally be president again. In theory, he could, you know, he could pardon himself theoretically. We'll see what the Supreme Court thinks. He could launch all these lawsuits. Again, you still have to be able to convince a judge and a jury of them. They seem to always forget that fact. And along the way, they forget that all these people giving evidence on Donald Trump are Republicans. But again, it's all a Democrat plot and everything. So anyway, yeah, they're promising blood because they don't want to have to promise anything real. Certainly not anything economic. They're not going to promise you that your wage is going to go up. They don't care if they do, and they'll ensure that they don't. They don't care if you'll be able to afford a home. They don't. You can add on to the list whatever you want. They're gonna leave you cold and alone in the rain, just thinking about as your family starves to death, well, at least we got Hunter. Anyway, congratulations to Jesse Waters, by the way, on finding his niche. He's not ready to do all of the crazy eccentric things that Tucker Carlson would. He's not playing the tapes of guys microwaving their balls or anything, but he has discovered that you can just promise retribution. You can just promise that effectively the storm is coming. You don't even have to do it with any emotion or any talent. You just read it off the teleprompter. You better believe open season is coming. And they'll cheer for it. They love Jesse Waters now. And of course, they will go even farther. The Libertarian Party of New Hampshire, which recently attacked Nina Turner of the TYT network, tweeted recently, politicians should fear for their safety on a daily basis. So that's a shot, of course, from January 6th, where every one of those politicians feared that they would be murdered by this bloodthirsty crowd. The Libertarian Party, who, hey, what do you know? They pay Elon Musk $8 a month. I never would have predicted that. Believes that they should be afraid of being murdered constantly. And when someone pointed out that that's endorsing terrorism, they responded, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. So they're like, yeah, no, that's what we're doing. We want political violence. Those tweets are still up. The accounts haven't been taken down. All of the racism, the insane things they've said, now advocating for violence, there's not going to be anything done. But remember how mad Elon Musk was at that watchdog group for saying that there's more hate speech on Twitter these days? Anyway, it feels almost pointless, Sabrina, to be pointing this out, that once again, their go-to is always, let's just see if we can get someone to do something crazy. But it's just so out in the open, it's so unabashed at this point.
We need that Family Guy chart where it's like terrorism if it's okay, depending on their skin color. That's very much their attitude, because I feel like it's very likely that many of the people who like that libertarian account are probably, you know, white nationalist loving type people. Very, very scary threats at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, look, they either haven't thought about this or don't care, because again, very often right wingers will make statements that seem as if they're putting across some sort of principle, but they're not. So, you know, I have to speak up in defense of, again, a member of this audience, Congresswoman Marjorie Greene, to the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire. Should she be constantly afraid for her life? If some deranged communist were to attack her, kill her, would they be a freedom fighter? I mean, she supports taking away people's freedoms in a variety of ways. Would they be a freedom fighter? I think that idea is abhorrent. I think that's horrific. It's weird that you're advocating for that to become acceptable.
House Republicans should immediately demand that Jack Smith present himself for a transcribed interview before the Judiciary Committee in the next 15 days. If he does not do that, we should send a subpoena. If he ignores the subpoena, we should hold him in criminal contempt of the Congress so that he is the first prosecutor in American history to be prosecuting a case while himself under criminal contempt. And if Merrick Garland doesn't enforce that criminal contempt, then we ought to impeach Merrick Garland. And by the way, while we're doing all of that, to showcase how political and indeed dirty this has all become, we can utilize congressional immunities to immunize President Trump.
Yeah, that's, to be clear, not a thing. I do love, though, how open and honest he is. To prove how political this has become, let's immunize Donald Trump. First of all, I thought you guys were against people getting immunizations. But anyway, what is he talking about? We bring him in as a witness and then he can't be tried for anything. That is an utter fantasy. Okay, well then the Democrats will bring Hunter Biden into a Senate committee. Oh, we turn the tables on you. This is obviously not how government is supposed to work. But this is like Matt Gaetz, of course, like all of them, is not engaging with any of the specific charges, any of the specific evidence. He is not defending Trump in terms of the case because Trump is indefensible. That's why none of them, including Donald Trump, are trying to do that. They're just saying Jack Smith is a big old meanie, and so we're gonna try to waste his time. And they say that they would bring him in to testify, and then like because that's not cool enough, and they won't actually be able to generate interesting moments. They then fantasize that he'll refuse to. He'll refuse so much that they'll get to lock him up. Have you considered the possibility that he'll just come in and testify and answer your questions and perhaps in doing so, make Trump look really, really bad? This is, I think, Sabrina, very much a be careful what you wish for thing. If you want to give Jack Smith, a guy who really thus far seems to have been on his game, a national platform that tons of your viewers, your supporters will be tuning into, remember, your strategy is to make sure that they never understand the actual content of this case. You're explicitly advocating for that. And now you want them to have unfettered access to the guy who's going to be prosecuting this? Okay, that's an interesting strategy, Sabrina.
Yeah, locking up investigators, it's not going to make somebody innocent. It's certainly not going to make Donald Trump innocent. So I don't know where he's getting at. It really does sound like he's just trying to spew anything to just distract his audience, keep them confused, so that way they don't actually follow what's about to happen.
Yeah, that would be convenient. And if you are trying to distract people in the way that Sabrina is saying, you're gonna throw out a bunch of stuff and you'll do your best. Like if you're an intelligent right winger, you'll throw out something that sounds sort of plausible. On the other hand, some people are Charlie Kirk. And so what he does is he says the fake elector scheme, that's not nothing. That was just a publicity stunt. Quote, if you're trying to overthrow the government, who tweets about it? It was obviously a publicity stunt. Oh, I forgot about that. It is actually, well, they teach it in all the law schools. If you tweet about a crime, it can't be a crime because who would be stupid enough to do that? All of you guys, all of you guys were doing that. Did Charlie Kirk, do you bear in mind, like understand that it wasn't all tweeted, that they were meeting with people and they actually put together the fake slate of electors and they really tried to get it to Mike Pence and he had those conversations with Mike Pence. They weren't tweeting, they weren't even DMing, they were just talking, buddy. And that's where he broke the law. Again, this is like, I know that if you're a conservative and you're watching this, if you're Marjorie Greene and you're watching this, you think that I have a very low opinion of the average right winger. And I apologize for occasionally giving you reason to believe that. But there is no way that me on my darkest, cruelest day could just feel so much utter unrestrained disdain for the right wing than a person like Charlie Kirk who would tell them, if you're trying to overthrow the government, who tweets about it? God, you have to have no respect whatsoever for conservatives to say something like that. You guys tweeted to get people to go there on January 6th who then rioted. So like, what are we supposed to believe? That if they had succeeded, if they had strung up, murdered every member of Congress, if they'd been able to institute some sort of Christian fascist thing, that Charlie Kirk and them would be like, this isn't what I wanted. And then turn against it. It's so utterly ridiculous. Anyway, let's turn now to, we're gonna skip Donald Trump wanting to move the trial. It's unlikely to happen. I wanna turn to someone who's actually sort of speaking out against him. Here is Mike Pence.
The American people deserve to know that President Trump and his advisors didn't just ask me to pause, they asked me to reject votes, return votes, essentially to overturn the election.
So that is Mike Pence saying something that's true. That is very much what they were trying to do. And he has been slightly critical in the last few years of Donald Trump, but isn't it convenient that he's like super explicit about what they did after the indictment is out? Like he could have been making this case for 2 years. He chose not to do that for reasons that aren't difficult to figure out. But he's being critical of Trump now. Okay, well, let's test that. How critical is he willing to be? Watch this.
Put yourself on that jury for just a moment. If you were on the jury, would you say that this defendant, the former president, had committed a crime that day? Do you believe it rises to the level of a crime?
Well, you know, Martha, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know the full case in chief that the government has. Some of the argument that I hear coming between the lines from his lawyers is something of a concession that that he may have gotten bad advice, that he was just taking advice from his attorneys.
Okay, so look, obviously a lot of that is Weasley. I will say, yeah, it's fair to say you don't know. It's complex, it's unprecedented. Sure, you don't necessarily know. That's fine to say. But then Sabrina, he turns to, I don't know, like I'm hearing he got some bad advice, which we have already heard earlier this week is a strategy that they're considering on Trump's team, just blaming his lawyers for it, letting the co-conspirators go down. And now Mike Pence, a guy who a moment earlier was critical of him, who is running against him for the Republican nomination, is helping play into that strategy. What do you think?
I mean, I do hope that these men, not just Pence, but everybody else involved, I hope that, you know, these selfish cowards do end up turning on Trump, because this has just been a long time coming. And yeah, Mike Pence should have spoken a lot sooner. But not only that, but I feel like this process has just been taking too long in general. Like, we're talking about January 6th. How many years ago was it now? It's been taking way too long, and it's a little frightening that, you know, the election is right around the corner and people do still see Trump as a viable option. So I really, really hope that everybody continues to flip on him.
Yeah, I hope so. And we're actually gonna talk about that in just one moment, but I'm gonna allow Donald Trump to respond to Mike Pence. He says, "I feel badly for Mike Pence, who is attracting no crowds, enthusiasm, or indictments." I'm kidding, out of that. "Or loyalty from people who, as a member of the Trump administration, should be loving him. He didn't fight against election fraud, which we will now be easily able to prove based on the most recent fake indictment, and information which will have to be made available to us finally." By the way, let's pause for a second. There is this, like, again, it's all Q from floor to ceiling. It's all Q. So their idea right now, the way that they're coping against this devastating indictment is, wait, and by they, I mean rando blue check marks on Twitter all the way up to Fox News personalities, is, wait a second. Now we're gonna have a trial, which means Jesse Waters literally said this. Every one of these states is gonna have to prove that they ran clean elections. No, you dumb donkey. What are you talking about? That's not how it's gonna go. First of all, if you are asserting that they committed voter fraud, it is on you to establish that. And you guys have tried and tried and tried and tried literally dozens of cases over the courses of years. And you've been laughed out of courtrooms all over the country. It didn't work out for you, buddy. It's not gonna happen now. And that's not what the focus of the case is gonna be. But anyway, he goes on to say, "The VP had power that Mike didn't understand, but after the election, the rhinos and Dems changed the law, taking that power away." He didn't have that power, and they didn't take that power away. They tried in vain to make it as explicit as possible that just because you control the vice presidency doesn't mean you get to automatically win re-election. But the point of reading that, Sabrina, is a big portion of the indictment is about his pressure campaign against Mike Pence, and he is still bleeding that Mike Pence could have overturned the results of the election, even though he has been told by everyone that they could not have. He's still saying it. I feel like that bleat could be evidence in the trial.
That would be exciting if that was evidence. I think there was even a quote that Mike Pence had mentioned before, that Donald Trump had told him that he was too truthful at one point when they were discussing this in advance. Like, that really is just, it's not helping your case. So I don't know what's gonna happen next, but I hope Mike Pence continues to share his truth.
Yeah, 100%. And then I hope that he goes away. Yeah. That would be nice. Anyway, with that said, let's turn to a topic that Sabrina brought up recently. Everyone is wondering, will Rudy Giuliani, will the other co-conspirators, will they turn on Donald Trump? It isn't necessary that they do so to doom Donald Trump, but it would sure be helpful. And we've got these six people. Five of them have been identified. One we're not quite sure about. And we're just wondering, they haven't been indicted yet. So does that open the door for them to flip? Now, it's not necessarily the only reason that Jack Smith did not name them, did not indict them. It could be that he wants to get this thing wrapped up as fast as possible. And if you're trying to finish this case before the 2024 general election, then you want it to be simple. And trying one man is a lot simpler than trying a mixed group of seven people. So that could be his goal, but it could be to open up the door for them to cooperate. And so we're going to be watching every day any signs that they give as to whether they might be cooperating or not. And thus far, this is what we have. We know going into this, by the way, that at least one of the co-conspirators, that is Rudy Giuliani, and another possible co-conspirator, that's Boris Epstein. People think that Boris Epstein might be co-conspirator number six, have already sat with prosecutors for extended voluntary interviews. It is likely the case, as generally in cases like this, that whatever they said in that could not be used in future criminal proceedings against them, although it could be used against Trump. But that doesn't mean that they can't be interviewed yet again. So that at least demonstrates that they have been willing to talk with the special counsel before. That said, let's dive into some specifics. So Rudy Giuliani, we know that late Tuesday night when the indictment initially drops, his lawyer, Robert Costello, who I assume will someday face charges of his own, leveled a blistering attack on the indictment and a defense of Donald Trump, which suggests that Giuliani was not currently cooperating. Quote, every fact that Mayor Giuliani possesses about this case establishes the good faith basis President Donald Trump had for the action that he took. Sure. And Rudy Giuliani said recently, the people lying are the people bringing this. They should be indicted for conspiracy against rights. So he's attacking Jack Smith and his team, implying that he's not going to flip. I have been looking for updated interviews with him and I haven't seen any yet, but he is busy on social media. He tweeted, I'm inspired by Theodore Roosevelt's The Man in the Arena. It is not the critic who counts. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood and dripping hair dye, who strives valiantly. So sure, if that makes you feel better. He attacked Mike Pence, again, implying that Mike Pence should have overturned the results of the election, and he implies that it eviscerates the First Amendment and criminalizes the ruling regime's number one political opponent for daring to ask questions about the 2020 election results. That would be bad if it was charging him with asking questions. Thankfully, it's not. Rudy Giuliani should really read the indictment. He could avoid looking so humiliated like this. But anyway, Sabrina, thus far, it does not appear that Rudy Giuliani is ready to cooperate, but we are still in the early stages of this thing. What do you think? Oh, I think you're muted.
Sorry, there's yard work going on right outside my window right here. I'm just surprised that he knows how to use Twitter. Like, why is he tweeting like this with everything going on right now? Like, who is running this Twitter and why are they tweeting like this? I feel like he has more important stuff going on right now. I mean, with Trump and his own stuff, I'm very shocked.
Yeah, that this is how he'd spend his time. I agree 100%. I mean, the issue is I was looking at his Twitter activity and like nothing. There are so few people where when it's revealed that they've done horrible or illegal things, it actually seems to matter at all to their fan base. And it's almost never fair who it is that it works on. But with like Rudy Giuliani, people are loving his tweets. They're retweeting it, they're commenting, they're watching his show or whatever. I guess they're paying him on Cameo or something. Like nobody seems to care that they did all this stuff. And when I say all this stuff, I don't just mean the election stuff. I mean, we're gonna be talking about other accusations against him, but it is just amazing the place that we've gotten to as a country where through the power of like partisanship and tribalism, nobody seems to care about the terrible things you do. And it's like a principle that works in such different realms, different arenas to try to draw in Rudy Giuliani. If you're the president and you clearly have been breaking the law, your base is not gonna give a damn. It's like they treat everyone like Logan Paul. It's like, I know that looks bad, but he made some videos, so I guess we're cool. Why are we that way? Why can't we reevaluate our relationship with people seemingly under any circumstances? I don't understand it.
Wait, did I hear you correctly that Rudy Giuliani is on Cameo?
I don't know if he's still on Cameo. He has been on Cameo, yes. That's fine. I mean, you know, it's weird, but it's fine. I don't have a problem.
No, that's not fine. He doesn't belong there. Are you kidding me? No, get him out of there.
Okay, well, I will stop buying videos from him and we'll see.
Thank you.
We'll starve him in that way financially. Anyway, with that said, we have more to say about Rudy Giuliani. Okay, that'll be coming up in just a sec, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Really fast. Okay, so Galifar is asking, what is the status of the Council of Worms? Which I did not agree to that name. Do we get a TDR power panel at some point? I love the idea of it. We'll see. I don't know if that would work, but we will consider. We'll consider it. Okay, let's see. I'm gonna need everyone who's just joining us now to hit the like button, and then everyone, regardless of how long you've been here, prepare yourself because we're gonna get into some really dark, terrible material. Rudy Giuliani is facing a number of legal challenges. We want to focus on the criminal complaint lodged not long ago by Noel Dunphy, a former employee of his who made some pretty shocking allegations against him in May. Now, we've previously covered this. You can check the channel for our previous coverage of that. But to catch you up a little bit, she has alleged that Giuliani forced her to have oral sex and intercourse with him, in addition to making pervasive sexist, racist, drunken, anti-Semitic comments over the course of 2019 to 2021. So we knew all of that before, and we also knew that Rudy Giuliani denied all of this. He denied the actions, he denied the lack of consent for whatever actions happened, and he also denied the comments. Well, we don't have proof yet on some of the most serious allegations, but when it comes to the comments, yeah, his claims that didn't happen are utterly untrue. So we're going to the extent that we can, read some of these. There's a lot of words that we can't say on TV, but here's one comment that he made to her. This is a transcript labeled Exhibit 14 from March of 2019. "Come here, big blanks. Come here, big blanks. Your blanks belong to me. Give them to me. I want to claim my blanks. I want to claim my blanks. I want to claim my blanks. These are my blanks. These breasts belong to me. Nobody else can get near these, okay? I don't care if they're flirting or they give you business cards. These are mine, you got it? Understand? I'm very effing possessive. I've gone easy on you." And so that comment doesn't just lead our commentary just because it's appalling, but also because it really sums up the nature of these comments, which is that they are grotesque and also really scary in terms of the entitlement and the possessiveness, as he pointed out. In other transcripts, he says to Dunphy, "I want to own you." He said at one point he wanted, like, with a contract, he wants to own her, literally with paperwork. Calling her my bitch, you're my whore, you're my effing slut. And then, you know, that's obviously scary. The idea that he apparently has fantasies of owning a human being and being able to have his way with them. But anyway, he goes on in March of 2019 to talk about fantasies he's having. He says, "Let the doorman wait outside to bring in the luggage. Wait, wait, we need a little time alone. Yeah, I need a little time alone with my girlfriend here. With my daughter, with my little girl." This is, of course, a person he is saying is his daughter, is his little girl, that he has demanded work naked in a bikini or in American flag short shorts that he bought for her. This woman he would refer to as his daughter and his little girl. He also forced to perform oral sex on him while he took phone calls on speakerphone from clients and friends, specifically because he wanted to, quote, feel like Bill Clinton. And when he was around his daughter, his little girl, he took Viagra constantly. He was also effectively always drunk and acted out on a variety of both the weird things going on in his mind, as well as the various chemicals he effectively stewed his brain in and on a constant basis. Look, there's other disgusting stuff and we will get to it, but Sabrina, what do you make of all this?
Really? That's the only Democrat he admires? Bill Clinton? Of
Makes
course.
Sense. To some
of
extent.
Course, absolutely disgusting man. And that's why I especially had that reaction about, like, why are you using Twitter in this way right now? There are really, really serious allegations. I know that the victim has some things recorded and some things not, which is unfortunate because obviously, like, when there is a lack of proof, that will be used against her, which is awful because in, like, sexual assault, sexual harassment allegations, you're not always going to have proof. A lot of these crimes in nature happen in very private settings. So yeah. I'm very proud of her that she was able to record what she could, but also very scared for her because coming forward in general is just absolutely, like, opening yourself up to more harassment. It affects your identity for a while. And I'm I am worried about her because this was a very powerful man. So I hope that she receives as much justice as she possibly can. All of this is just unfortunate. I think she even mentioned that he told her as soon as he was interviewing her, he knew that he wanted to do all of these awful things to her. It was instant.
Well, and when they initially started working together, whatever, she was experiencing previous abuse from a previous person. So this guy who at least allegedly looks like a pretty classic predator saw someone who had previously been victimized and clearly thought that he could do it as well. I agree, I'm glad that she has the tapes. Of course, it should be obvious, but not having tapes also doesn't mean that there's not something to what you're saying. So it is good that she has it, it's not required. But anyway, it's just all of this is so utterly disgusting to hold this person, in this awful situation in terms of their employment, in terms of their financial situation, and to act out in all of these ways. It gets into other areas too, him saying incredibly anti-Semitic things about Jewish people, mocking Jewish men's genitals, mocking their marriages, mocking their traditions or whatever. That's not illegal, but I don't know. It seems like the right would be more angry about it. Sometimes they pretend to have an issue with anti-Semitism, but it's when their people are saying it that they don't seem to have a problem at all. He had some sort of weird obsession with Matt Damon. I don't get what that's about. But anyway, with these transcripts, there is definitely going to be more pressure placed on him. We'll see what ends up happening. I agree with you though. My final point will be like going up against someone who is either well liked or powerful is always going to be difficult. I can only imagine the reaction she's getting from right wingers. And honestly, even we're covering this and we're talking about the parts of the transcript because we need to so that people understand what apparently happened. But even having those quotes come out again has got to be incredibly traumatic to have. We're talking about it, and I'm sure, Anderson Cooper will be reading it, and then she'll see that, or she'll know that people she knows are seeing that. And then she's gonna have to experience again some reflection, some reverberation of that trauma yet again. So, and that's what you open yourself up to when you challenge them in your quest for justice. You have to be traumatized again repeatedly, and that's what makes this, even more hard, Sabrina. Anyway, any final thoughts?
No, just no wonder he was trying to pressure her to lie to, I believe it was the FBI, and say that she didn't even know him, or just say that she didn't remember anything. And I think that's a big, that was a turning point for him, in terms of getting more angry with her. So I'm very happy again and proud that she is able to come forward, but I hope she does receive some form of justice.
Yeah, I hope so too. We'll see. Okay, we have another story. I swear, the show is going to lighten up at some point. We try to always balance it, and particularly I wanna have fun with Sabrina, but stuff is going on and we have to engage with it. So let's jump into this. Not long ago, following Greg Abbott in Texas rolling out these new razor wire lined buoys that they put in the Rio Grande River, we predicted that it would result in not just people being maimed, as had already happened at that point, but we predicted that it would inevitably result in deaths. And sometimes it sucks when predictions come true, because that has already happened. The Texas Department of Public Safety has notified the Mexican consulate in Eagle Pass, Texas, that a person was found dead in the southern part of the floating barriers. Mexican National Institute of Migration told ABC News on Wednesday that a second body had been discovered in the buoys already. They have barely been there and already two people are dead. The identity of the individuals, we don't know. The cause of death are unknown. There's no good cause of death that they're gonna find. It's just select from different horrific possibilities. We don't know whether those deaths were connected to each other. We know both of them are connected to the new border policy that Texas has instituted. And by the way, we have a little bit more details on just how terrible these buoys are. Take a look at this. Jordan Elder, a journalist, posted this photo. New close-up photos of the buoys. It appears there are sharp rings in between the buoys to prevent people from trying to go over them. So if you try to go over them, you will be ripped open and possibly bleed out. either in the river or shortly after getting out of it. So again, absolutely horrendous. And I don't need to show you this next thing, but I'm going to. Because do you know what the replies to that were? It was this: Rob D, what's the problem? Richard, if they were using legal ports of entry, this wouldn't be a problem, would it? Bubba Harrison, good. Those are just the next three. I didn't like go looking for these. Those are the three responses to it, is people saying, yeah, murder people in the river. If they didn't want to be brutally murdered, then they should have gone through a legal port of entry. If they didn't want to bleed out, if these adults and kids didn't want to bleed to death or drown in the river, then they shouldn't have done this thing I don't want them to do. And I don't know for sure, but I'm gonna imagine that every one of those people who is so happy to see people dying have strongly held religious beliefs that apparently seem completely incapable of stopping them from being utter sociopaths. Sabrina, what do you think?
I bet these people who are leaving those types of comments are the same people who care so much about the sanctity of life and whatnot. Uh-huh. Like, these buoys are so new and so dangerous. I mean, regardless of whether anybody has papers or not, like, nobody deserves to die like that. Like, if somebody just happens to be near them and they're trying to stay afloat or risk drowning, there's nowhere to hold on to. Like, what? You're gonna get, oh my gosh, it's very sad and just inhumane. And I hope that they get rid of these as soon as possible, or more people are for sure going to die.
I know, and just like it makes you feel so utterly powerless that you see it coming, everyone sees it coming, they know what the intent of this is. Greg Abbott did this so people would die. We're not gonna do the thing where we pretend that we don't know or we can't know, or you know, we disagree, but you know, everybody's principled. No, he did this to kill people, and now people are dead. And more people will be dead. These first two are the first two, but there will be many. And he won't care, and his administration won't care, and his voters won't care, and no conservatives will care that people are literally needlessly dying. They just don't care. Okay, everyone, we're gonna turn to lighter news. We have some actual light news coming in the aftermath. So if you're listening on the podcast or something, go to the channel, go check it out, have some fun. Okay, with that, let's jump into this. A 45-year-old missionary, resident of Georgia named Jason Gerald Schenck, has been accused of misdirecting some funds that were designed to go towards missionary work in China, specifically distributing Bibles and other Christian literature in China. How much money? $33 million. That will buy you, I would have to imagine, a lot of Bibles. But it didn't, okay? He's now being indicted on multiple federal charges in connection to the alleged scheme, which was carried out over the course of 9 years. He got away with this for almost a decade. You can see him right there. That is Jason Gerald Schenck on the left. That is stock footage of a Bible on the right, because he didn't actually buy one for us to take a picture of. Anyway, they allege that Schenck started the scheme in 2010 under the pretense that he'd be using the funds to produce and distribute Bibles in Christian literature, specifically in China. And over time, he acquired $33 million. Do you really need to produce Bibles? Like, there are lots of people publishing Bibles. Like, that should have been your first tip that there was an issue. So the money clearly did not go towards that. So what did it go towards? Well, gambling, personal items like diamonds and precious metals, and his family farm. Oh, he's a family man, okay. He also spent $850,000 on shares of an unknown private US nuclear company. And he also spent about $4 million on 16 different life insurance plans. So I'm gonna say there might be other charges coming in different areas of fraud. About $820,000 was allocated towards his credit card payments, and more than $1 million was deposited in an unnamed online sports betting site that has been since shut down for fraud. Now, he is on the run. We don't know how much money he still has to his name, but he was able to get away with it for 9 years, and he's obviously got resources, Sabrina. So I don't know if we should expect that this guy is gonna be caught anytime soon. What do you think?
Okay, this is gonna sound a little heartless, but I don't feel that bad, a little bad, but I don't feel that bad about The people who donated to all these millions to produce more Bibles and send them to other countries like China. Mm-hmm. What? Why would you donate to that? We already have so many Bibles. It's like one of the most popular books in the world. Like,
yeah, there couldn't have been a better cause. Not like Hoover levels, but yeah, it's popular.
Yeah, like there have been much better causes at the very least. Like, listen, if churches actually feed the hungry and house the unhoused, that's a good thing. This is to print Bibles and spread them to people who may not even want them. What an absolute waste. So, I mean, this story is kind of funny. Sure, catch the guy. I think even one of the things that he spent his money on was like buying a house in Puerto Rico. So, oh, yeah, nice. Get him, get his ass.
Yeah, I look, people can do missionary work. And if you donated the money wanting, like believing, okay, I have only so much money to give, I want it to be spent on forcing your religion on other people, then you can do that. There's a long history of that. I think you point out some better places that the money could have been spent, but it's not up to us and it's not our money. That said, you can't steal it to just gamble it away. Like, he spent the money on precious metals. We are stupid little monkey creatures. That's all we are. I want a shiny, and I don't care who has to die as a result of it. Like, what is wrong with us as a people? Now, this is you're gonna be shocked to find out. He's facing a bunch of charges, by the way, money laundering, wire fraud, all that stuff. Did you know that there have been other religious leaders who have stolen money? Did you know that? That's crazy. Back in 2021, there was the pastor of the Northeast Washington Church fraudulently obtained more than $1.5 million from the PPP program. He used it to buy 39 used luxury automobiles and property in Baltimore. Like, at the 30th car, are you not good? Are you, like, your quest in life is to beat Jay Leno? What is wrong with you at that point? God, it's scam after scam. And I'll just close with this. Marjorie Greene, I really am looking out for Christian conservatives. Like, stop being scammed. Stop following these people. And sometimes it looks like this. Sometimes it's just a megachurch pastor has a private jet. Is that really any better? I say no. And I hope they get this guy. Okay, with that said, we unfortunately are running low on time, so let's jump right into this. As you know, Texas is currently facing an insane heat wave. A lot of America is, but it's really bad in Texas. Austin is undergoing its second longest stretch of 100 degree days ever recorded. El Paso, Fort Worth are in, you know, extended bouts of triple digit heat as well. And that's bad for the state, it's bad for the people. But did you also know how bad it is for your car? This might seem like a weird thing to focus on, but I think it's important that you understand that it isn't just that we are breaking down under the heat. Literally, the things we own cannot survive in the world that we are creating. And it can be pretty serious. In some cases, it's not too bad. Like, for instance, broken windshield wipers, like the rubber literally just falls apart under the heat. And so your windshield gets all scratched up. That could cost you hundreds of dollars. That's not good. Your brakes can be affected too. It can literally kill your car battery. They tend to do really bad in extreme heat. Your tires can fail under the heat. They can melt, but also the tire pressure can be drastically reduced from the heat. And like, this is a sign of the world to come. It is just, the world is failing around us because we're making it inhospitable, not just to humans, not just to animals, but to literally like the cars. The people showed photos of, it's the traffic lights were melting, like they're falling apart under the heat that we experience right now, Sabrina. I know that we're in an area where it's not quite so bad, but I feel like this should be a warning sign to people.
Did I tell you that I was in Texas just a few days ago? So I felt this exact heat wave that you're talking about, and it was miserable. I thought it's been bad here in California and Los Angeles with it being in the 90s. No, Texas does have it way worse in terms of heat. Every time you stepped outside, it felt like you were stepping into an oven. Outside, it It is so awful. And especially one of the people that I was visiting happened to own a BMW, and the handles, the car handles, were melting. Yeah, your pieces of your cars are melting off. I feel terrible not only for the people there, but for the wildlife as well, because even in the late hours of the night, midnight, it is still burning there. It does not cool off.
No, it's just it's not livable. I mean, we've seen these reports of people like falling, and when you touch the pavement or the road, like you get second degree burns. Like, at what point are people gonna start to pay attention to this? And I know regular people generally get it, but at what point do you start to pressure your politicians to do something about this? And by the way, take a look on our channel for our coverage earlier this week about the heat in Texas prisons, which makes the experience for regular people look like a vacation. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Thank you everyone for following us. There is more to come in the aftermath though. So if you're on one of the platforms where you only get the first hour, definitely go check out the channel. You'll see the rest there. We'll see the rest of you soon.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.